We started this series, This Is Us, talking about family, and we've covered various issues, and today we're going to look at the issue of husbands and wives, and that's not always an easy situation, right? Don't comment, especially if your spouse is sitting there. There was one woman that is said to have prayed this simple prayer: Dear Lord, I pray for wisdom to understand my husband. I pray for love to forgive him. I pray for patience to put up with all his antics. Because, Lord, if I prayed for strength, I'm liable to beat him to death. Marriage can be challenging, to be honest. When I do a wedding ceremony, at the end of the ceremony, I usually introduce, here's Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so. And I feel like saying at the end of that, let the games begin. Well, marriage is challenging, but you know, it doesn't have to be a war zone. And for some of you, too often it is. In your home, there's a war of words that's going on. There's an undercurrent of tension and frustration. And we want to kind of admit that it does happen. It happens even in Christian homes, even where mom and dad are believers. It happens there. And we want to kind of address that today and approach that today, because I want to tell you that if you're married, if you've got a Christian home, it doesn't have to be a war zone. It can be better. And in fact, it can be good. And dare I even say, it could be great. Some of you sitting out there going, great, my home? Do you know what my home's like? It can be great. And that's what we want to consider as we think about how to bring our family life in line with the will of God. How do we bring God's word to bear in our homes? How do we bring God's pattern, God's design to bear in our husband-wife relationship? And so we want to consider that this morning. We want to do so by kind of immersing ourselves a little bit this morning in Ephesians chapter 5. If you've got your Bibles, you can open up there. If not, we'll have it up on the screen for you. I think we've also printed the entirety of the text there in your handout to make it a little bit easier for you. It's a lengthy passage, but we're going to read it all, and then we're going to go break it down and kind of look at some sections of it. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to look in verses 21 through 33. Ephesians chapter 5, 21 through 33. And this is what we read in those verses. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the Lord is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Father, help us to understand this and to find ways that we can apply it right in our own homes. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know what your devotional life is like. I don't know what kind of Bible studies you participate in. But this is what I do know. When we open our devotional and we begin to read for the day and get that nugget of wisdom, encouragement, truth, when we go to our Bible studies, go to our small groups, we get a segment of Scripture, and even when you come to a worship service like this and you hear a message, it typically is a chunk, or maybe even a few verses, that come out of the larger context of what is being said. And when you read something like this, you read it and you can almost read it in isolation. And I want to encourage you not to do that. As a matter of fact, here's what I would really love for you to do, if you'd be willing to humor me and to try this. Ephesians chapter 5 is in the larger, these verses are in the larger context of the entire book, but certainly in the context of the entire chapter, Ephesians 5. Would you take time to read that? And here's why. Because that provides a broader context. Because what Paul is doing is not just saying, hey, listen, let's just talk about husbands and wives and let's don't talk about anything else. What he's talking about is how you are to live that Christian life. How do you live that Christian life out on a daily basis? What it's to look like. And oh, by the way, part of that is your husband-wife relationship. But that is not in isolation from everything else. And that's unfortunately what we end up with a lot of times. It's just in isolation. And so if you would go back and just read Ephesians chapter 5, and if you want to add to that, read Colossians chapter 3, because we'll reference that in a moment. If you read those two chapters, it gives you a better understanding of the entirety of what's being said. So this morning, remember, we only have a small segment. We can only look at a small portion, but we want to do so as best as we can and in context with everything that's being said here. And what we want to do when we read verses like this is we want to avoid as much misunderstanding of what God's will and God's pattern and God's design is. I would not want you coming away from here thinking, well, what I just read right there shows that women are somehow inferior to men, that wives are somehow inferior to their husbands. Because that's not at all what's being said. In fact, if we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 2, what we understand is that men and women are both made in the image of God and therefore are equal in their dignity, equal in their value, equal in their worth, and equal in their glory. There is no distinction there. Now, men and women have different callings in marriage. That's what this passage is addressing. But it's not addressing their worth. And if you read that into it, and unfortunately some have, then you're misreading the text. Consider what it begins with in our first truth, and that is that mutual submission is a biblical underpinning. Mutual submission is our biblical underpinning. That's what it says. Verse 21, what does it say? It says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is for everybody. Moms, dads, husbands, wives, parents, grandparents, friends, brothers and sisters in Christ. This is for all of us. So if you got a problem when it says one person should submit to another, then you got a problem with the whole thing. Because you and I are called to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And that's important. We're not submitting to one another because the other person deserves it. Why are we submitting to one another? Out of reverence for Christ, because Jesus deserves it. Not because they've asked for it, but because Jesus has called for it. And so that is the underpinning, this idea, this concept, this truth of mutual submission to one another. And it's important for us to get that, or there's a temptation to misuse these verses. So that's our starting point. That we are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And quite honestly, we could probably just end it here, but we're not. We could end it here because there's so much in there. Imagine applying that in your home right now. To submit to one another means to bring, basically, you are putting yourself under that other person. And that's why Paul could tell us to prefer one another above yourselves. It's the same thing. And that is, I'm looking after the needs, the well-being of another person, even if it means sacrifice for me. And they can say that because the example that Paul gives and the example that Scripture teaches us is the example of Jesus, who put our well-being, who put our needs ahead of his own. Okay, so let's take a look at this and let's break this down and look at what it says to husbands and wives. And we'll start with husbands first because, quite frankly, Paul has a lot more to say to husbands here than he does to wives. And so we understand that the men are probably more likely to fall asleep. So we'll put that one first. All right, so what does he say to husbands here? Let's look at this one more time. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one hated his own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church, for we are members of one body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Husbands, love your wives. Now, simple question. To whom is Paul speaking? Anybody? Husbands. Okay. He is not talking to wives. This is important because he is not saying, wives, make your husbands love you. You've already tried that, some of you. It doesn't work. Wives, you cannot make your husbands love you. You cannot guilt them into loving you. You cannot manipulate them into loving you. Love is a gift. It must be given. Therefore, husbands, listen up, husbands, love your wives. And it's almost as if at this point in Paul's speaking, he's like, okay, wives, you chill. This is not for you. I'm not talking to you. You go ahead, take your nap now, get it over with, because this is not for you. This is for husbands. So husbands, you listen up, because I've got something important to tell you, and that is love your wives. It should seem like a no-brainer. To this, we should look at Paul and go, duh. But guys, sometimes we don't get it. And so Paul spends verses here in trying to help us to understand what that kind of love looks like. It may not be what you think. And so let's look at the kind of love then that Paul says that we're to have. First of all, it is a sacrificial love. It is a sacrificial love, just as Christ gave himself up for the church. You and I are called to give ourselves up, husbands, for our wives. That's huge. That's sacrifice. Your wife needs to know, listen, this is what your wife needs to know. She needs to know that she's more important than TV. She needs to know that she's more important than golf. She needs to know that she's more important than fishing. She needs to know that she's more important than hunting. She needs to know, listen up guys, she needs to know that she's more important than Georgia football. Now, that does not always mean that you don't, oh, I can't go to any more football games, I can't go hunting, I can't go fishing, I can't go golfing. That is not what it means. It just means when it comes to the priorities in your life, your wife is up here. And the other stuff is down here. And your wife needs to know that, and you need to show that. If you ask every guy in here, and he'll say, well, my priorities are God, family, and then it may be work, or it may be whatever hobbies you've got. All that stuff comes underneath. But it's wife and family. I mean, God and family, God and family, God and family. Is that how you live? Ask somebody else to rank them for you. You look at my life and you tell me what you think is most important in my life. And you may be surprised. Maybe you ought to ask your wife what she thinks. What do you think are my priorities? Based on how I live day in and day out. Looking at Monday, looking at Thursday, whatever day of the week it might be. What do you think my priorities are? What Paul says is, listen, if you're going to love your wife, it's a sacrifice. Love. It's going to cost you something. The second kind of love is it's a sanctifying love. It's a sanctifying love. Just as Christ desires a radiant bride, that is His church, a bride without stain or blemish, a husband's desire ought to be to see his wife growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that the husband is trying to conform his wife to his will and his desires. Instead, what it means is he wants to see her transformed by the renewing of her mind as she comes to know Jesus and as the Spirit does His work in her life. And that is why, guys, you need to take the lead spiritually in your homes. Listen to me. It is easy to go, well, my wife knows the Bible more than I do. Well, my wife, she grew up going to church. She's got a lot more experience in this. There's no loophole here, guys. If your wife knows more about the Bible than you do, catch up. Don't give up. Take the lead. Listen, guys, you need to be taking the lead. Your wife should not have to drag your carcass out of bed on Sunday morning. Your wife should not say, hey, listen, it's Saturday night. We need to get on the bed so you'll be ready to go in the morning. You need to be the one who says, hey, you know, it's Saturday night. It's rolling on about 9 o'clock. Well, maybe not in your home. My house, 9 o'clock's about bedtime. But whatever, you know, we need to, hey, get ready. Hey, make sure, kids, make sure you got your Bibles where you can find them tomorrow morning. Go ahead and set your clothes out so you'll be ready to go. Listen, if you're going to be late, you're going to sleep in this morning, go ahead and take your shower, take your bath tonight so you'll be ready to go tomorrow. Go ahead and put the car keys where you can find them. It's amazing how many times I can't find the car keys as an excuse for being late. Go ahead and just set it out. Plan on it. Take the lead. Let your family know, let your wife know that the spiritual life of that home is important to you. Take the lead in quiet times. Take the lead in family devotion time. Take the lead in praying for and with your family. Take the lead. God has put the reins in your hand. And listen, He's going to hold you responsible. He don't want to hear any kind of excuse. Well, my wife, she's a little more spiritually mature than I am. My wife, she grew up going to church. My wife, she knows more about the Bible than I do. My wife, she's just kind of more spiritual than I am. That doesn't cut it. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be angry at you. I want you to get this. I want you to understand this. God is holding you responsible for the spiritual health of your home. Don't miss it. It is to be a sanctifying kind of love. You are to desire, to pray, to work, to bring your wife closer and closer to Jesus, to bring your kids closer and closer to Jesus. And I promise you, there is nothing more important in all the world than doing that. So it is a sacrificial love. It's going to have to be selfless. It's a sanctifying love. You need to put the spiritual health of your family at foremost. It is a serving love. Jesus is the ultimate example of service. Just imagine, and we always come back to this because it is just so out of character with our world. Jesus, the Son of God, okay? Jesus, the Son of God. And it wasn't that He didn't know He was the Son of God. He knew exactly who He was on the night before His arrest. Took a towel and a basin, and because no one else would do it, He knelt down and He began to wash the feet of His disciples, those dirty, smelly feet. He went from person to person to person, washing their feet before supper. Get this. As He washed each person's foot, He knew full well that in just a few hours, they were going to turn their back on Him and abandon Him. And He still washed. It wasn't based on who they were. It was based on who He was. You were called to be a servant. Husbands, you're called to be a servant. Dads, you're called to be a servant. And your first area of service is in your home, to your own wife, to your own kids. It's a serving kind of love where you look at their needs, which means you need to know what their needs are. And here, let me just add a little, throw out something to wives. Please don't make your husband guess what your needs are. Men are stupid. We don't know. And you can give us all the hints you want to. We're not going to guess. Just tell us what you need. And it'll go a whole lot easier on both of us, okay? Just be honest. Just say, listen, I need a hug. Does that make you sound weak? No, it doesn't. It just tells your husband what you need, because he's going to go bopping around. He's going to be watching TV. He's going to be puttering around doing this, that, and the other thing. You're going to be walking around, I need a hug, I need a hug, I need a hug. Why didn't he figure it out? When he comes in, you say, hey, listen, when you put your stuff down, could you just come over here and hold me for a minute? Because that's what I need more than anything else in the world. I promise you, your husband will appreciate that. Know what the needs are. Wives, don't make them guess. And when you discover what those needs are, serve those needs. There's a cool thing. If you've never been through the five love languages, it's a wonderful thing for you to go through. You can do it yourself. It's not rocket science. Just kind of figure out what it is that shows your wife that you love her. For instance, Nancy's kind of love receptors our service. And so me serving her, it's almost a joke in the house. At night I get up and I go, okay, well, I'm going to do my chores. What are my chores? Well, primarily it's go in there and make the coffee so the next morning she's got it. Because getting there and having a pot of hot coffee in the morning says, honey, I love you, without me having to even say a thing. So you need to find out what says love, and then you need to serve in that way towards her. So it's a serving kind of love. It's also, Paul tells us, this is a superior love. A man will leave his father and mother, and he'll be united. He'll cling to his wife, and the two become one flesh. You know, guys are often depicted as the brave one in the family, ready to defend their wives, ready to defend their kids, to stand in the way of all harm. But guys, sometimes we're wimps, and it's especially true when it comes to defending our wife from our parents, from our moms, from our dad. You're the one who needs to stand up for your wife in front of your parents. Don't make her do it. That makes her the bad guy, the bad girl. No, you need to do it. Because here's the deal. What we're told is that when we are united to our wife, when we become wed, that we enter into the preeminent relationship, physical human relationship we are going to have. And that that relationship takes priority. It does not mean that we no longer honor our fathers and mothers, respect our fathers and mothers, love our fathers. That's not what we're saying. But you need to come to her defense. You need to stand in the gap. Listen, if you've ever seen... Here's a perfect example. If any of you have ever seen the show I Love Raymond, don't be that guy. Don't be the wimp. Don't be the one who backs down from parents. You need to be the defender of your wife. Now, you can do it with gentleness. You can do it with respect. You can do it with love. But by all means, do it. Because God has revealed to us that that's the superior relationship. A man will leave his father and mother and cling to his wife, and the two become one flesh. Now I want to add one more verse because I think it helps us understand a little bit more, and that is Colossians 3:19, where Paul, also commenting on the role of a husband, says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. And I think this helps us to understand a little bit of what it means to be the spiritual leader of the home. We are not the guy with the hammer. We're not the autocrat. We're not the dictator. That is not what it means to be the spiritual leader of a home. Unfortunately, in Paul's time, a lot of that was going on. Women were considered little more than property. Most weren't permitted to get any kind of education at all because they wanted to keep them at home and dumb, not understanding things, not exposed to anything, just kind of keep them at home, shielded away from the rest of the world. Oftentimes, wives could be abandoned by their husbands for the flimsiest of reasons. She burned dinner. I'm out of here. I'm not kidding. That was actually a reason. So for those of you who married wives who couldn't cook, back in Paul's day, you could have just left her and gone and found another one. You could have gone and married Paula Deen. Women were also often verbally and physically abused. No excuse for that. One of the things I told Jay from early on, there's never a reason you need to strike a woman, ever. That's a culture. And so these kind of words from Paul would have been counter-cultural, would have been revolutionary. Don't, when you're the spiritual leader, don't be harsh with your wife. Don't be cruel. Don't be heartless. Love her. Serve her. It's the complete opposite of being a dictator in the home. You are the chief servant in the home. That's your role, guys. Don't be harsh with them. Okay, let's move on, because some of you are going, okay, the husbands really get pounded here. And yeah, they do, because we're stupid. We don't listen to it. If we just listened to it, it'd be better. Okay, so what does it say about wives? It says here, beginning in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. That means you're not submitting yourself to every man. Submit yourself to your own husbands as you do the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. And then we move to verse 33. It says the wife must respect her husband. And so, if you're filling in the blanks, wives, respect your husbands. Now, let me ask you again. To whom is this command given? Wives. You're catching on. Okay. It's given to wives. And so it does not say here, men, husbands, make your wives submit to you. And I will tell you this. There are churches and pastors and leaders who teach that very thing, and it is wrong. That is not what it says. In fact, I would argue that what Paul is trying to say is, guys, we've had our little conversation. Now you chill. Go ahead and watch SportsCenter while I talk to your wives, because this is not for you. This is for them. This is not your responsibility. It is her responsibility. So guys, you need to kind of tune out for now, and let's see what's being said. It says, to say that wives were to submit to their husbands, it simply logically follows from verse 21. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So it is almost as if Paul is saying, we're already supposed to do this anyway. So you girls, you actually get off pretty easy. Look at what I laid on the guys. We're already supposed to submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. But he does add a different dimension here, because he says, listen, there is a spiritual picture of marriage that we want to get here. And so we need to understand what this means in order to submit to your husbands, to willingly place yourself under the spiritual leadership of your husband. Remembering at the same time, your husband is loving you as Christ loved the church. Could you see how this could be a really good thing? Okay. Paul compares a wife's submission to their husband just as the church is to submit to Christ. So let me ask you, does Jesus come in and force his will on you? No. He doesn't. He invites you to enter into a relationship with him where he is going to love you sacrificially and love you selflessly. And you bring yourself under that leadership. You bring yourself You willingly say, I will follow this spiritual leader. I will follow, in this instance, Jesus. And in the marriage instance, I will follow my husband. He invites us to join him in living a life that brings glory to God, that grows the kingdom, but also blesses our own homes. He's not asking to bring chaos into the home. He's inviting you to bring peace into the home. Every believer is called to willingly bring themselves under the leadership of Christ. And wives are called to bring themselves under the leadership of their husbands. I want to add here that this is God's ideal. This is God's plan. This is God's design. And it can be a beautiful thing. But because we are all frail creatures of dust, and we often stumble and fall short of God's ideal, then that means that, can we be honest, Christian husbands don't always love their wives like Christ loves the church. Can we get some testimony here? No. Guys, we don't always get it right. Some of us aren't even trying. And because we're all frail creatures of dust, that means that wives don't always respect their husbands and allow themselves to come under his spiritual leadership. Some of you don't allow your husband to be spiritual leader. You may say it, I want this, but you do everything you can to undermine it. This is the real world in which we live, where we often fail, we often stumble, we often fall short. Fallen human nature can cause husbands to abuse their authority or to fail to lead or to fail to love. Fallen human nature will mean that wives may reject their husband's spiritual authority and refuse to even respect him. It is as a husband listens to what God says to them and begins to put it into practice, and a wife begins to listen to what God says to them and to put it into practice, it's then that we begin to discover what marriage truly can be like. Husbands and wives are equal in God's sight, but listen, they do have different responsibilities, and let me take a moment to say they also have different needs. And this may be one of the reasons that we aren't willing to bring ourselves in this model, because we're kind of scared that we're not going to get our needs met. What do husbands need? I think this scripture helps us to understand it. Husbands need respect and admiration from their wives. We need our wives to recognize that we're working, that we're trying. Even when we mess up. I tell in premarriage counseling, I say, listen, men need this so much that if all you can find that day is to tell your husband, wow, when you mowed the grass, look at how straight those lines are. Can I tell you something? That's about all we need. That takes us from empty to full. Men are simple. We need to be respected. We need to be admired. And the person that we most need to be respected and admired by is our wife. Our wife. That's what we need. Someone who's got, that's the fuel we run on. Wives, you run on a little different fuel. You run on the premium stuff. You run on love and affection. Now, let's be careful. Sometimes husbands and wives have a different definition of what affection is. But guys, you need to understand that's the fuel that needs to go in her tank. She needs to know you love her. And if you need to go, well, what does that mean? Go back over what we just went over. She doesn't need to just hear it. She does need to hear it. She doesn't need to just hear it. She needs to see it each and every day. Find out what says I love you to her and make sure you're putting that fuel in her tank. Now, here's the cool thing. When I am filling my wife's tank And she is focused on filling my tank. Our tanks remain pretty much topped off. And when our tanks are topped off, we are more than able and even willing to top her tank off. This actually, here's what happens in most marriages. You start off here, and then one is, for whatever reason, can't fill the tank, and so it drops off a little bit. And the other one looks at that and goes, well, this isn't fair, and they drop off a little bit. And then the other one goes, well, that's not fair either, and it drops off a little bit, and it just keeps going down like this until pretty much you're running on empty all the time. The exact opposite should be true. You should be trying to outlove, outserve one another. Can you imagine a relationship like that? Where you are focused not on what you want and even what you need, but instead are focused on the needs of the other person and putting those needs ahead of your own. That's what marriage could be. Now, not everybody does it perfectly. Honestly, I don't know any of us who do it perfectly. But manipulation and guilt and angry outbursts, that doesn't fix it. How do you fix it? Here's how you fix it. Do what God told you to do. Go back, and if you have to read it 1,000 times, keep reading. This is what it says. I'm a husband. This is what it says for me. 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 If you're a wife, go back and read it. Go, okay, this is what it says for me. This is what it says. Let me go back up here and read this thing about husbands. No, don't do that. That's not what it says for you. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is your responsibility. Your husband's responsibility is his responsibility. So husbands, love your wives with the same kind of love that Christ has for the church. And wives, respect your husbands. Submit to his spiritual leadership. Your husbands need it. They need to know. Now, this is never an excuse for abuse. And if you're in a relationship where a husband or a wife, for that matter, is being verbally and physically abusive to you, you need other kind of help. I would never tell a wife of an abusive husband, just submit to it. Because that's not what Scripture teaches. And that husband is surely not loving his wife as Christ loved the church, because Jesus doesn't abuse us. So here's the thing you're asking, will it work? Some of you are a little skeptical. If I love my wife the way Christ loved the church and I commit myself to serve her in a very sacrificial way, is she going to take advantage of me? Wives are sitting there going, okay, if I bring myself under my husband's spiritual leadership, if I look to show my respect to him in many ways, is my husband going to take advantage of me? I'll be honest with you, it's a risk. Let me ask you this. Is it any worse than what's already going on in your home? God gave us kind of his recipe, and yet somehow we think, I can do my own home cooking here, and it's going to be better than what God came up with. It won't be perfect overnight. You won't get there just like that. It takes work. It takes diligence. It takes perseverance. It will never be perfect. But guys, love your wives. Love your wives in a serving, sacrificial kind of way. Let Jesus be your role model. Wives, respect your husbands. Respect them. Bring yourself under him. Let him become the spiritual leader God has created him to be in your home. And you may find that things are completely different. So go home, talk about it. Pray about it. Commit to it. Pray for each other. That's what you don't do this. Well, the preacher said that you're supposed to love me sacrificially, and I've been keeping score. Well, what you've just done is you've taken that respect tank in your husband and poked a big hole in it. No, pray for him. talk about it together. Don't talk about it. Here's what I say you need to be doing. But say, hey, listen, I've been thinking about this, and this is what I feel like I need to do. Don't just ignore it. Listen, here's what can happen. You can take this whole thing, this whole teaching, this whole truth, and you can say, well, it's Sunday afternoon, and that was Sunday morning stuff. This doesn't have anything to do with my life. I'm telling you, if you're married, it has everything to do with your life. Don't ignore it. Some of you need to begin to do that in your families today. Some of you have a different point to start from. Because we're told to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. What does that mean to revere Christ? That means to recognize who He is and to give Him the glory, the respect, and the standing that He has. What is His standing? He is the crucified and risen Son of God who offers salvation to all who would believe. And the way you can best revere Him is to receive Him as Savior and to follow Him as Lord. Some of you may need to take that step today. Jesus may need to be your Savior and your Lord. And we've got people in this room who would love to tell you how that can happen. Some of you need a church home. You go, listen, this stuff is hard. I can't do it by myself. Good news, you don't have to. There's a church family that wants to gather around you and to help you to begin to live the life that God has called you to live. Some of you may have been under deep conviction today. I'm talking mainly to men here, but there may be some women as well. And you just need to come to God and say, God, I have blown it big time. I hear what You call me to do, and in fact, I already knew it. But I haven't been doing it. I haven't even been trying. And I want a new start today. And I want to tell you, you can use these steps up here as a holy altar to come. Maybe you bring your wife with you and say, hey, let's pray together. I want our homes to look like this. But this could be a day of new commitment, a day of new beginnings for you as you receive Christ, as you become part of His church, and as you bring your life, your family in line with His will. Would you pray with me? Father God, I thank You for speaking to us, even when it's not always easy for us to hear and to receive, but I pray that this word, not my words, but Your word, would do its work in the hearts, the minds, the lives, and the families here today. Lord, we know that You want to continue to transform us, to change us from the inside out. And I pray, Lord, that that's exactly what's going to happen. That today, because of Your truth and Your Spirit, things are going to begin to change. And so, Lord, help us to focus on those things that You've spoken to us and to begin to live them out. Lord, I pray for those who need Jesus. Lord, would Your Spirit convict them in such a way that they couldn't leave this place without receiving Your Son as Savior. Lord, those who need a church home, Lord, if this is where You're calling them, let them come. Unite. Be a part of this family. And Lord, for those who simply need to come in brokenness and pray, let this be a holy moment, an altar where we can do business with You. For this is our prayer in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.